This is the Blaze and Access podcast, amplifying disability perspective one story at a time. Today is Thursday, May 9th. I'm Blaze Bryant. Today we head back to the Events and Athletic Center for a show that I normally did not co-host called the Social Justice League. The reason I co-hosted this time is because the regular host, Isaiah Agoho, who produced both this episode and what you heard the other day from the St. Baldrick's Day event, he participated in a mac and cheese cook-off, which is why we were all there. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to try the mac and cheese on the air, otherwise I would have brought you that clip, but instead, we talk about the importance of giving back to the homeless. Now, a quick note here is when we did this a decade ago, it was called the Homeless Action Committee. And now it's called the Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless. Here's that clip from March of 2014.
There have been several candlelight vigils. There was one on Sunday in the sanctuary. There was another one Wednesday night. There was the Super Stroh's Sweep, which kicked off the Social Justice Week, which is kind of like a St. Rose take on the show Supermarket Sweep. People would go around Price Chopper and collect items, and all the proceeds just for today, or like for today, go to the Homeless Action Committee, which has Isaiah and I touched on. They do a lot of housing and transporting and caring for people who are homeless. And while we're talking about homelessness right now, let me just say this. Not every person that is homeless is destitute or a bad person. There are people who are homeless that have fallen on hard times for varying reasons.
This is Sam.
Hi, Sam. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very nice to meet you. Here, just take a seat right over there at that mic there.
Yep. Sure.
Okay, so Sam, how long have you been a part of the Homeless Action Committee?
I've actually been there for 8.5 years.
And what brought you to the committee?
Actually, I moved here in 2005, and I was interested in getting back into human services, so I thought this interested me, and I've been here since then.
Yeah. That's great. Where did you move from to get to Albany?
I was living in Maine, actually. I lived there for 4 years.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And certainly what you folks do for the with the Homeless Action Committee is absolutely remarkable. I just want to say that first and foremost.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you were just talking a couple minutes ago about some of these services that you provide. Take us a little bit more in detail what you folks do.
With our outreach program, we're traveling the streets of Albany. We drive around in our outreach van, and we have a regular clientele as well as meeting new people every year that have ended up on the streets for various reasons. Some people may be out there because of addiction issues or mental health issues or a combination of both. And some people just have had some unfortunate circumstances, job loss or maybe relocation to places, to Albany, where things might not have worked out and plans fell through for them. They could have ended up outside that way too. And so we're trying to give people a hand with different services. We have food, clothing, and blankets on the van. And we also have different services we can provide, or we can refer people to different places. There's different soup kitchens and stuff. We can give them a referral to there for food, or food pantries, case management. Somebody may need to fill out their DSS application, and they may, there's, I've met people who are unable to read and write. And so we can help them fill out their stuff there so that they can get their food stamps, et cetera.
And how do you deal with the challenge of literacy?
Well, you know, lots of times people aren't going to tell you they can't read and write. So you kind of pick up on it. You know, if they're always asking you to read something for them, or, you know, they'll give you a form and they'll be like, you know, I can't figure out what this form says. Or lots of times they'll be like, I don't have my glasses, you know, which is maybe the case sometimes. But then you kind of pick up on it that they probably can't read and write. We do handle crisis situations as well. And we may find somebody lying down on the ground and we don't know what's happened to them. They could be intoxicated or they could have had a seizure, heart attack, whatever. In those kind of cases, we'll call the EMS, and we'll get them picked up to go to the hospital. There's instances where we can bring people to the hospital ourselves if it's not a, you know, emergency situation where they, you know, we need immediate medical attention. We can do that. Some people are looking for shelter. We can help assist them, call Homeless and Travelers Aid to get shelter for them. It is a challenge to get shelter because a lot of the people we deal with have addiction issues, and if you're intoxicated, you cannot stay at a shelter. We've actually set up, there's one shelter that opened this winter that was taking intoxicated people, and so that's worked out for us because that's a lot of our population, or a lot of, you know, you get a lot of behavioral issues and stuff like that. Where people may not be appropriate shelter placements, or they've been in the shelters, gotten kicked out. They've pretty much burned their bridges with other services too, so it's a challenge. You know, you definitely have to do some advocacy work with them because they're not going to get much accomplished on their own, you know.
For sure, Sam, and I think one of the main things to realize here is, you know, oftentimes there's this sort of misconception that, you know, people who are homeless, you know, have a lot of control over the situation, which realistically, they don't always.
Right, right. That's true. That's true, too. And you could, you know, somebody could have unfortunate circumstances where they, you know, they never expected to be, you know, end up on the streets. I mean, we've definitely got people out there with college degrees. We've got people out there with, you know, they're skilled tradespeople. I mean, there's a lot of very intelligent people out there who never thought they would be outside for whatever reasons, you know.
Absolutely. How can people find out more information about what you folks do over with the Homeless Action Committee?
If anybody has any questions, they can call our office. It's 495-0663, and option one is the outreach van mailbox. So you can leave a message in there if they want.
Okay. And is there anything else that you would like to add that I perhaps missed?
Well, you had some really good questions. You covered a lot of stuff there. So, but I mean, I just basically, we're there to help people, and hopefully, you know, they'll make their decisions to help themselves. If they're not ready to do that right now, we can be there as their support.
And what's the average length of stay? Or maybe that's assuming an average is an arbitrary thing for me to do.
I mean, we meet people that have been outside for maybe one day. Then there's people that have been outside for 25 years, you know. So and then we do deal with some people who are staying at the shelters, or we come across them doing the outreach. And but at least they've, you know, they're in a shelter and they're in a safer spot anyway than people staying right outside. I mean, people are very vulnerable outside. People get beaten up, robbed. You know, different things happen because they're, you know, cast-offs to a lot of people, and a lot of people just ignore the problem.
And Sam, I want to thank you so much for taking a few minutes here on this radio show, the Social Justice League. I very much appreciate it.
Yep.
And I'll see you around.
All right. Sounds good.
As soon as I'm done taping the show.
All right.
See you around. Blaze Bryant here on the Social Justice League.
Hi, Blaze. It's Joan.
Hey, Joan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Joan is one of the wonderful brains behind what has been an absolutely fantastic social justice week. So, Joan, what made you want to reach out and, you know, get students involved with the Homeless Action Committee?
Well, we've been volunteering with them for quite a few years now, many, many years at St. Rose, at least 10. And we really, the Homeless Action Committee was started by a St. Rose alum, Donna DeMaria. And she saw a need in the city for folks who still were struggling with addictions to have shelter and safety despite their difficulties that were going on personally. So she created this shelter where folks that could stay even if they were still in the thick of some difficult struggles with addiction. And so we've been making meals there and visiting there, and many of our students from campus help out on the van, especially in the winter months, and go around and see the folks that are not indoors that maybe need blankets or sandwiches or something like that.
I remember being one of those students. It was either last year or 2 years ago. I went to one of the homeless shelters, and it really paints a much different picture than what is sadly oftentimes misperceived.
Yes, yes. Like getting to meet people and being there personally and seeing the individuals, it moves past stereotypes to seeing the human beings that are in the thick of some really difficult struggles.
You've been working with students, Joan, for a very long time.
Yes.
You know, at the Hubbard Interfaith Sanctuary and whatnot. In terms of homelessness, do you see students are kind of getting it in terms of this is something that we can help with as opposed to something that should just be ignored?
Oh, absolutely. But I feel like students are quite devoted to this issue and really want to look for ways to help, whether it's making meals or going down to Washington on trips or building homes for people that are still looking to have an affordable shelter, like through Habitat for Humanity. So we have actually quite a few students really involved in reaching out in one way or another. I'm really impressed.
That's great. And before I was talking with Lisanne, I was doing my best to recap all the events that have been going on during Social Justice Week. And since you helped plan it, you could certainly recap things better than
Name
I could.
Name them all. So we've had a Model UN that was sponsored by our international students. We had a great program on the film Girl Rising, which is about the education of young girls around the world. We showed the film A Place at the Table just yesterday to a number of students who were looking at the issue of hunger in America. And then we'll be doing a performance on campus of the Laramie Project tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That'll be our closing event for the week. And also tomorrow during the day, we'll be helping to sew together feminine products for women in Uganda, for young girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty big service project to be trying to reach out across the globe and to try to help remove one of the obstacles to education for girls in that part of the world.
That is phenomenal. The fact that you folks are able to find such great causes that really the rest of the population seems to really overlook is absolutely amazing. Explain a little bit more what the Laramie Project is.
Well, that's a play that was put together in response to the violent hate crime against Matthew Shepard back in the 1990s, so it was a while ago now. And in response, it was in Wyoming, in a small town where people thought things like this don't happen here, and something like that did. And then, so he was assaulted and left for dead by two people who were offended by him being gay. And so then he eventually did die, and the people went over to the community and just started interviewing community members to find out what happened here, how did this occur, how could this possibly take place in this town. And actually it gave shape, so they put this into a play form. So we'll be doing what's called a staged reading of it. So people will be coming together and telling that story and just reminding us of the issue of hate crimes. And in fact, today people could sign letters to try to prevent hate crimes against the homeless. That's actually a group of people that are really vulnerable to assault these days, maybe not as much as it is around folks who are gay, lesbian, transgendered, but it ends up being a group that's quite vulnerable to people being violent to them. So we have some letters to send to our congresspeople and senators even during this event where people could speak out on their behalf.
Wow, that, it's incredible what you guys do at the community service office. So how do students get more involved in terms of wanting to be a part of the community service office?
Well, Ken Scott runs the community service office, and I run the Office of Campus Ministry, so we kind of do a lot of crossover events that make it confusing, I think, for everybody involved. So we always just go, yeah, it's over there. We're doing that. So, people can go on either group's Facebook page. So the Office of Spiritual Life has a Facebook page. They can like us on that. Or the St. Rose Community Service also has a Facebook page. And that way you can keep track of all the many activities that are going on throughout the year. They have a lot of service campaigns and then ongoing projects, like bigger issue things like this week with the Social Justice Week.
Well, as I have said to you before, who will speak if you don't?
Yes, that's a good theme, isn't it? That's
absolutely.
The one.
Joan, thanks so much for
Thank
taking the time.
Thank you, Blaze. Good to chat with you.
Always a pleasure. And that was Joan Horgan, who heads the Office of Spiritual Life over at the Hubbard Interfaith Sanctuary here at the College of St. Rose.
BlazinShows@gmail.com. BlazinShows@gmail.com. Follow the Blazin Access podcast wherever you get your podcast and on social media, Facebook and X at Blazin Shows. And if you have a minute or two, I'd be grateful if you left a rating and a review. That helps other people find the show as well. Transcripts are AI generated and are not perfect, but they do give you a baseline sense as to what I'm talking about here on the show. The last time I was on Radio St. Rose, and you will hear it tomorrow. I'm Blaze Bryant. Thank you for listening to the Blazin Access Podcast, amplifying disability perspective one story at a time. Have a great day.